I've discovered a book on sale at this festival called The Doors Songbook, which appears to be a pirated version of all the words of all the albums, including the new one. What do you reckon about that? Do you think that's a good idea? Or?
Well, I don't mind if they got all the words spelled right. A lot of times they really screw up the meaning. Just one word or one semicolon will ruin the whole thing.
Right. Do you approve then of having your lyrics on the back of your albums or on the inside sleeve? Because in England, I think two of them have had the lyrics and three haven't. Do you think it makes a difference? I mean, we didn't have the words The Unknown Soldier, for example, which...
Yeah, they really got botched up. Yeah. I don't think it matters one way or the other. I don't think it's necessary, but...
I mean, you don't mind that somebody's making some bread out of your words?
No, what harm could it do?
Oh, right, it'll only... If people buy it, then they'll know your words, I suppose. Is this the first festival of this sort you played?
Yeah, it is.
How do you find it? The chaos and the devastation and the... You know, it's okay in here, but, I mean, have you been outside? And...
Well, it's kind of hard walking around out there. I did get around back around the campsites a little bit. This one seems to be pretty well organized for such a huge event.
Oh, yeah. And,
I didn't have a good time last night because I had to perform and I just got off a plane and all that.
Yeah, right.
But tonight I came back and I can see why people like it. I think all these people say that the huge festivals are over, they're dead and all that. I think they're wrong. I think that it's going to become increasingly significant in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when I talked to some cats who came back from Woodstock, like Clive Selwood, you know, the Electra English guy, he said it was terrible. You know, it was such devastation, and so, you know, all these people were filthy and hadn't eaten anything for days, and you know, he said, and then now they made the film, and everybody says, wow, you know, beautiful revolution, and you know.
I'm sure that these things get highly romanticized, but. And I was kind of that opinion myself when I saw the film about Woodstock. It just seemed like a bunch of young parasites being kind of spoon-fed this 3 or 4 days of thinking. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
They look like victims and dupes of a culture, yeah, rather than anything. But then, I think that may have been sour grapes because I wasn't there, you know, not even as a spectator. So I think even though they are a mess and even though they are not what they pretend to be, some free celebration of young culture, it's still better than nothing.
Oh, right, it's better than nothing, but...
And I'm sure that some of the people take away a kind of, you know, a kind of myth back to the city with them, and,
oh,
and it'll affect them.
I presume that you don't believe in this revolution business that is being spoken about, as if, you know, we're all going to go back to London and throw, you know, take over the Houses of Parliament, and it all sounds very unreal to me, you know.
That would... Well, okay. I don't want to say too much because I haven't studied politics that much, but it just seems like you have to be in a constant state of revolution or you're dead, you know, so, you know, there always has to be a revolution. It has to be a constant thing, not something that's going to change things and that's it, you know, the revolution solved everything. It has to be every day.
Yeah, I figure that you've got to convince people gradually to change, not sort of say, you know, power, we're coming in and we're like the Black Panthers and all this. I mean, that...
But there have to be Black Panthers too, you know.
Oh, yeah, to keep people reasonable.
They have to change too. They have,
yeah,
to become leopards, you know, someday, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like it. Wow, well, can we get on a bit of music?
Right.
You played mostly tracks off your first two albums last night. Why was that? Because you felt that we'd know those better?
No, we'd know them better.
Right. You don't do many gigs at that rate, then?
Yeah, we do, but never anything like this. I don't think that our particular music style holds up very well in a huge outdoor event. I think we're the particular kind of magic that we can breed when we do. When it works best in a small theater.
Like the last time you came to England.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, right. I saw the last set, you know, when the dawn was breaking on the Saturday, and it's incredible, you know.
I thought that was one of the best concerts I've ever done.
I was talking to the guy this morning who made the film, and I said,
Which one?
The Doors...
No, I know, but which guy?
Geoffrey Cannon. He's a writer for a very straight paper called The Guardian. And he said that they were trying to put over the immediacy of rock rather than The Doors. And I said, well, I think you should have been trying to put over The Doors, because the sound recording was really shitty, you know, it was very bad. All the people, I said, watch it, you know, watch it, because this is really something.
However, I thought the film was very exciting, and to be on television, I thought it was incredible.
Yeah.
The thing is, the guys that made the film had a thesis of what their film was going to be before we even came over. You know, we were going to be the political rock group, you know, and it also gave them a chance to whip out some of their anti-American sentiments, you know, which they thought we represented,
right.
You know. And so they had their whole film before we came over.
Yeah.
But I still think they made a very exciting film.
It is better. I taped it, actually, and it's good to listen to it, actually, because, you know, all this bit about people trying to get into hospitals and National Guardsmen stopping them is all very nice, but it doesn't bear the... You know, when you were on at the Roundhouse, there was something, it was amazing, you know, that all the people sort of sitting there, it was so crowded, it was much worse than this. But it was an enclosed space, you know. And there was a queue of 2,000 people waiting to get in at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, a ridiculous scene. Which, why haven't you been since then, by the way?
I guess we've been too busy. And there didn't seem to be that much demand. I mean, we couldn't go back to the Roundhouse, and it didn't seem to... It should have been a step forward, and there just didn't seem to be any real...
No. Well, the Roundhouse is no longer an auditorium in the same way it was then.
Is there now, isn't it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That seems strange, a place for that to be.
Well, they put seats in it, and, you know, it's... they charge a fortune for them and all the rest.
Yeah, that was a beautiful scene.
Oh, right, yeah, well, everybody seems to... Oh, the straight press were very pissed off with it because they didn't understand it too well, you know. They're putting it on in a proper theatre now.
No, I mean 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
The way
the
Roundhouse was kind of...
Incredible, yeah.
Penny theatre kind of...
It was really nice. It was, you know, a sort of thing that one remembers for years and years. And this is why I wondered why you hadn't been... sort of since, because...
Well, that's the reason. There just wasn't... We were busy, and also there just didn't seem to be any real demand for it.
Oh, wow.
What's the name of the magazine you guys put out?
Zigzag.
Zigzag. I've seen it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's fame,
right.
Indeed.
How many do you publish?
20,000 a month. To people who we hope or want to know about what good music is, not, you know, not what's top of the charts or anything, that sort of thing.
I'd like to start a magazine newspaper thing in LA sometime. I think the trouble is if you try and do it to sell copies and get into advertising and all that, then you can't.
Well, you lose all your enthusiasm if you have to hustle things that you don't want to do. I mean, we work to we occasionally have to please somebody so that they'll look after us, you know, so we can keep printing, really. You know, we owe the printer some amazing amount of bread. And we have done since we started, but the printer doesn't seem to mind. It hasn't got any more.
Wouldn't LA be rather a difficult market with so many publications?
Well, that's it. I'd only do it if I could just finance it myself, so I wouldn't have to advertise. You know those little one-issued things the Surrealists and Dadas used to put out?
Yeah, right.
Manifestos and all that.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Look, an actual movie.
Oh, that's beautiful.
He looks like a priest wearing the
things. It's Mr. Hendrix.
It was.
Do you think, in view of what you've done, that you will do a tour now?
Well, we had planned one here. We had planned to do one after this, of 8 or 9 places in Europe, including Italy and Switzerland and Paris and that kind of thing. I have to go back to this trial in Miami, because I'm in the middle of that, so it blew the whole trip.
So, you know, but that is such a drag as far as we're all concerned.
I thought it was going to be, but it's actually a very fascinating thing to go through and to observe.
I talked to Jack, and he said that it was going on so long now that, perhaps nothing would ever be done about it, because it would go to appeals and appeals and appeals. But the trouble is, if it keeps you sort of in a position where you can't get out of the country for too long, it's a drag for us here. You know?
No, I think maybe we'll come back next spring or March, April. That's a good time of year. Right?
That would be incredible. Are you happy with the live album?
Yeah, I like it.
We haven't heard it yet.
It's just been released here. I think it's a true document of one of our good concerts.
Yeah.
You know, it's not insanely good, but it's a true portrait of what we usually can do on a good night.
Right. Well, this is something we've only seen twice.
Well, I think you'll like it.
Yeah, right. Well, I've really dug all the others. So, I heard that your favorite album was The Soft Parade. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I don't have a favorite. I think my favorite is, besides the live one, is Morrison Hotel.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. You know, that was a nice, getting back to the first two, perhaps, it seemed to me. But, you know, was that...
Just in the respect that it was, we didn't use any other musicians on it, except the bass player. Yeah. That was the main...
Lonnie Matt.
But it wasn't a conscious attempt to get back to anything.
No, well, you know, it was publicized a bit like that here, which is perhaps unfair, because the first album, you know, is an epic, which Ian and I and everybody else we know play quite continually, even now. I'm on my third copy of it. I wore out to it.
Yeah.
But it's really, you know, that's a
terrible
record.
That's like a novelist's first novel, no one ever lets them forget it. You know?
Oh, yeah, I believe it, but, you know...
Why don't you write in, like, Look Home with Angel?
Oh, no, I believe that you're progressing. I mean, I thought Morrison Hotel was a knockout, because the Soft Parade disappointed me in places. I thought the track, The Soft Parade, was nice. And
it kind of got out of control, and it took too long, and it just spread over about 9 months, and it just got out of hand.
Yeah.
An album should have, like, a book of stories or something. It should have some kind of unified feeling or style about it, and that's what happened.
Yeah. Are you happy with Elektra?
Yeah, it's been a good relationship. Yeah.
Because I'm an Elektra freak. I've got about 70 Elektra albums, some of which are terrible, in fact, right? You know, the Holy Motorrounders and things.
Now that they've become part of a corporation, it'll be interesting to see if the company gets better, or if they kind of get... Bye-bye. Or if it gets assimilated. I think it might give them a chance not to worry about competing in the popular field and do the thing that they do best, which is classical, experimental, electronic things, folk things. Giving a chance to people that, you know, haven't really a chance to be commercially successful in their own time. So maybe this will give them a chance to get back to that.
Yeah, right, because that's what they became known for.
I think with us it was just really a freak thing. They've never repeated that.
Well, they saw you when he came to see Love, didn't he? That's
right.
The story.
And, you know, they had Love, and someone associated with them brought someone in to see us. That's actually kind of nice.
Because
if Love was very the popular underground group in L.A. at that time, and we figured, well, if they went on Elektra, it must be a good label.
Yeah, because Jack said to me yesterday that Arthur Lee sort of was paternalizing about the Doors. You know, he said, I was there when you found the Doors, Jack, and wow. And then you got famous, and he didn't.
Yeah, you know, in a way that's true. I think it's too bad about Love. Incredible. Well, it's really Arthur Lee, I suppose, isn't it? Because although the first Love group was a very, very great group,
yeah.
But I don't think they weren't
they weren't willing to travel and to go through all the games and numbers that you have to do to get it out to a large number of people.
Yeah,
sure. If they'd done that, I think they could have been as big as anyone. And someday they will.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's go here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Thank you very much for your time.
And good luck.